Well, good morning, everyone. Would you stand with us and let's lift up his name together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you today that your love is from everlasting to everlasting. Thank you that you never stop loving us. Thank you for that blessing, Lord. Your love is faithful through the years. Your love is greater than our fears. We don't know what the future holds, but your love won't stop. Your love won't stop. Your love will flow for us forever like a mighty rushing river. It won't stop. Your love, a promise that won't fail. Your love, a flood that will prevail. Each day new mercies will rise. But your love won't stop. Your love won't stop. Your love will flow for us forever like a mighty rushing river. It won't stop. We've just begun to know your love. 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 We've just begun. We've just begun. Your love will fill our final breath. Your love will overcome our death. Then in your life we will rise. 'Cause your love won't stop. Your love won't stop. Your love will flow for us forever like a mighty rushing river. It won't stop. Your love won't stop. Your love will flow for us forever like a mighty river. It won't stop. Your love won't stop. Your love will flow for us forever like a mighty rushing river. It won't stop. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your everlasting love. Oh, Father, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do you know that Jesus loves you even when you're naughty? He does. He loves us when we're good. He loves us when we're bad. When we're bad, it grieves him, but he still loves us. God so loved the world.
Yes. Amen.
The world that he gave his only begotten Son. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let faith arise. In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he is alive. Yes, Lord. And he already knows my every need. Surely he will come. Rescue me. God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. Let faith arise. Kingdom come, I lift my eyes. For the battle has been won, my God is faithful. And every single word he said is true. God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. This world is shaking, but you cannot be shaken. My heart is breaking, but I'm not broken yet. Your love is fearless. Help me to be courageous too. There is nothing impossible. This world is shaking, but you cannot be shaken. My heart is breaking. But I'm not broken yet. Your love is fearless. Help me to be courageous too. There is nothing impossible. For the God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. This world is shaking. This world is shaking. But you cannot be shaken. My heart is breaking. But I'm not broken yet. Your love is fearless. Help me to be courageous too. There is nothing impossible, for the God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. God of miracles, God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we welcome your presence here this morning, Lord. Oh, Rabbakesitai. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Father, we believe you for miracles. We're asking, Father, that you would do mighty signs and wonders. Oh, that you would extend your hand, Lord, that you would confirm your word with signs following. God, that you would heal the sick. Deliver the oppressed, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, do a wonderful thing, Father. Father, I pray for that one that's here this morning that's feeling discouraged, Lord. I hear that word of discouragement. Lord, I pray against that thing that they would be able to hope in God in spite of discouragement. Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift it. Lift that thing. God, in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. And you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Nothing is better. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountains is the God of the valley. And there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens.
You turn
graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, praise your name, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Oh, Ramamamantaksa. Oh, Ropapakatai. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, Rabbi, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to your name, Lord. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know with you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the Red Sea. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. You heard your children then, you hear your children now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were providing then, you are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, your faithfulness. You moved in power then, God move in power now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were a healer then, you are a healer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a Savior then. You are a Savior now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. You freed the captives then, you're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You touched the lepers then, I feel your touch right now. You are the same God, you are the same God. I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty River, come and fill me again. Come and fill me again. Come and fill me again. Jesus, come and fill us, Lord. Oh, we need you, Lord. Oh, how we need you, Lord. God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Oh, thank you, Father, that you are faithful. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Are you aware? I hope that you're aware. During worship, I was keenly prompted by the Holy Spirit. I wanted to remind you that your standing with God has nothing to do with how well you perform. We live in a society that is very doing-oriented. People find their worth by what they do, what they accomplish. But God's love for you has nothing to do with your performance. It has everything to do with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus shed for you. You can rest in that God doesn't love you any less today than he did yesterday or the day before or the day where you prayed a lot and read your Bible a lot, and today when maybe you didn't or things didn't go as well. God's faithfulness means his love doesn't change toward you. Father, seal that in our hearts today. I'm just so keenly aware that someone, or maybe someone's, but someone came to church feeling very discouraged today. I didn't feel like that was the spirit of the whole congregation, but if that person is you, I hear the Lord saying that he wants to encourage you and restore your hope. It's the devil that's trying to steal from you. He's trying to steal from you because you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Father, I pray for that one or ones today that's struggling with the spirit of discouragement. Dispel that cloud from them in the name of Jesus. Help them to walk in liberty and freedom. And Father, there are those in our body today that we're asking, we want to see the gifts of healings manifested. Lord, that you would descend, that you would heal people, that you'd begin your healing work right now, even as we're praying, that people would begin to feel limbs get better, pain to abate, symptoms to disappear. Father, you can do it in the name of Jesus. Rain down your healing virtue, Father, on those who need it this morning. Oh God, we need you. Oh, pour it out, Father. Pour it out, pour it out. Oh, Jesus, I pray people would begin to receive even now. Receive in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. I have a few things I wanted to ask about, bring up for prayer. We're going to pray for poor little Samuel. If you didn't notice, this little guy took a tumble this week and broke his leg. Mom fell with him, but I think she's a little less
worse for wear than poor Samuel. We're going to pray for your leg, buddy. Yep. And I'd like, many of you may remember our sister Cheryl Rollier that attended the church here for many, many years. Used to play the organ, used to play the piano a lot. And Cheryl is in the last hours of her life. Took a bad fall at a nursing home, hit her head, and understand that she is, it's looking like she's not long for this world. I want to pray for her, but especially pray for her family. A lot of difficult dynamics within that family, and a family that really, really needs Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you for our little brother Samuel. And Father, we pray that you would touch his leg and accelerate his healing. Lord, I pray that you would touch that spiral fracture. God, that it would heal quickly, that the swelling would go down, the pain and discomfort would go, and that the doctors would be amazed at how quickly he recovered. Make it a testimony to the glory of your name, Lord. And Father, we lift up our sister Cheryl to you today, Lord, and God, we pray that your mercy would be with her. Father, I pray that you would help her after this difficult fall. Lord, I pray that with what memory she has left, that she would be able to call on the name of Jesus. Yes. Call on the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I pray for her children, for Brenda and Wes and Lori and Sue, Father, and her granddaughter, Lord, and Father, so many needs within that family. God, I pray that you would convict them and bring deliverance to their lives and help them to find Jesus. Help them, Father. Help them. Help them to give up fighting unforgiveness, bickering, and bitterness, Lord. I pray that the spirit of bitterness and unforgiveness would have no place in that home. God, that you would bring release and that you would be with our sister Cheryl, Lord, in this hour. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, we have church picnic coming up next week, and I have the sign-up sheet for it. On this sheet, it asks how many people, what would you like to bring? That's talking specifically about a dish to pass. And then the really, really important parts here, can you help set up on Saturday at 10 a.m.? And lastly, can you stay and help clean up on Sunday? I'd like to send that around, and if you can help, if you would sign and just try to keep the list moving so that we can get a good head count. And I have ordered Stern's chicken. So make sure you invite your neighbors and tell them that we're going to. Last year we ordered a bunch, and we ended up giving a bunch away, which is fine, but I'd love it if it all got eaten here on the premises, and that meant we had a lot of people. So, yes.
I said if you sign up for one person or two people or four and you decide to bring more, invite more and more people come, that's fine. If it's a lot more, just maybe it would be a good idea to let Jeannie know or let Pastor know so that if we have to order more chicken, but it's fine if more people come than we sign up for.
There always seems to be lots of food. I think the Lord multiplies it on the table or something, I don't know. But I don't recall ever a picnic where we ran out of food.
No.
No. We're always trying to send it off. So, yeah, invite people. If you cook it, they will come. That is my new statement. I just, food. Wave the food card. And if they don't, If they don't want to come to church and they just want to come to the picnic, that's okay. They'll get to be with Christian people. Do that. That's cool. That's all right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I am pleased to ask our brother Curtis to come on up. He's going to share the word with us this morning. And any kids for Children's Church, Sister Carol is heading back. There, maybe they're already back there. Oh boy.
And there's a, there's some really corny pictures stapled in there. Is that better? No. Amen. Does that sound okay? It seems funny to me from here, but yeah. Hello, hello, hello. So I, in the handout you have, I actually wrote out the point of the message so you can know right from the start what I'm trying to say this morning. And in the weeks ahead, I know every time I share I've used handouts, but I'll get better and start getting it up on the screen so you can see the Bible verses up there. But okay, good. There's a good. So Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, God, I thank you that we have hearts that are open to your word. Father, that we're a people who want to learn and grow in our relationships with you, our relationships with each other. Father, we desire to be a part of advancing the kingdom of God. And as we share your word this morning, that's my specific prayer, Father, is that just another little piece of understanding about how we can advance your kingdom would be sown into our hearts this morning. I pray that you'd give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say, and I pray, Father, that you said that the words that you speak unto us, they're spirit and they are life. That's my prayer for us this morning, Father, that life would flow in this place as we share your word together. In the name of Jesus, your Son, amen. Okay, so I'm sure all of you have already peeked ahead and looked at all the corny pictures and stuff like that, but I'll get back to that in a minute. The message this morning is about evangelism, and I know that when the subject of evangelism comes up, it can be a real stress point for most of us. And maybe it's a stress point for all of us, I don't know, but I know it's a stress point for most of us. And I want to say that as we talk about evangelism from a little bit different perspective this morning, maybe it will have the effect of reducing stress, letting us be a little bit more comfortable in understanding what we can do to share the gospel in the communities that we live in. I do want to be careful about one thing. The last time I shared, I talked about making mention. And the idea behind that was how when there's a prayer need, it doesn't mean we have to spend 20 minutes or hours in groaning intercession for that need, that there's really very significant kingdom value in just making mention of things that are on our hearts to the Lord, whether it's somebody who needs something, whether it's we're wrestling with something. Brief, easy, I don't care about the word easy, but making mention of these things to God has a lot of life in it, and it's very fruitful in terms of a form of prayer. Today, I'm going to talk about some easier ways of sharing the gospel. The caution that's in my heart, though, is two messages in a row, I'm talking about easier ways to do things. And I never want to get to a point where we ever feel that advancing the kingdom of God is always going to be easy. There's times where we have to travail in intercession. There's times where sharing the gospel might require sacrifice that's hard to absorb. Those things are there, but that's just not what this is about this morning. So And I think I wrote down on my list a bunch of different kinds of evangelism, and I will get to the notes in a second. I thought I wrote them down. Maybe I didn't. But sometimes going door to door in your neighborhood, or sharing the gospel with people on the streets, or having evangelical tent meetings, or whatever it is, these are the things that, at least from my perspective, these are the hard parts of evangelism. Very few of us, and I certainly don't feel comfortable knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. If you have it in your heart to do that, that is phenomenal. And I admire people who do have it in their heart to do that. Giving out tracts on street corners and stuff like that. All those things, they're really good, but not all of us are wired for that. And so the point of the message is to encourage you to rest in who you are and how God made you and how you can simply interact with the circle of influence that God has put you in. And a significant part of the message is about being who you are in your circle of influence. When we go knock on doors, or when we hand out tracts on a street corner, or when we attend a tent meeting, an evangelistic meeting, and again, all these things are good, but those things aren't taking place within our circle of influence. We all have a small circle of influence. It could be our families, our neighbors, our friends, the people we work with. We all have a little network, whether we're aware of it or not. We all have a little network of people who don't know Jesus, but have significant interaction with us on a day-in, day-out, week-in, week-out, month-in, month-out basis. And that's what I'm sort of defining as your circle of influence. And if we can just be our Christ-centered, God-loving selves, and that's the important part of it, if we can be our Christ-centered, God-loving selves, just living out every day in our circle of influence, a lot of really good things can happen in the kingdom of God. And then I wrote, and I think you have this in your notes, and I think this is important because most of us feel some amount of pressure to be something different than what God made us to be. We live in a culture that seems to only recognize high achievers and wealth and athletic prowess and stuff like that. That's just the culture that we're in. Maybe the world's been that way forever, I don't know, but it certainly is that way today. And because we are not those great athletes, people of great wealth, or in political power, or famous in some other way, because we're not that, sometimes it causes us to back off and just, it keeps us from resting and just being ourselves in the circle of influence that God has put us in. Okay, here's the truth. The verse that I'm about to read, and it's in your notes, defines the men and women that God has ordained to conquer the world and advance the kingdom. And probably all of you are familiar with this verse already, but the description of the people in this verse may not be the description of who you think the great world influences are. So I'm going to read it. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. And it's not an insult that most of us in this room fit, we're in that verse someplace. Most of us in this room fit that description. We are not many wise, mighty, noble. Wellsville Full Gospel Church is not filled with congressmen and billionaires and famous athletes and famous rock stars. And you know what? That doesn't disqualify us from advancing the kingdom of God in Allegheny County. Yeah. Because that verse that we just read, that describes the people God's calling. And there's nothing wrong with, well, Nothing wrong with being a rock star, I guess, or nothing wrong with being an elected official and get honored in your community. But those characteristics aren't the point. That's not the description of the people that God has called to change Allegheny County and to change New York State. It's us. Most of us have neither worldly power nor worldly authority. And I'm going to talk about power and authority in a second, and we'll get to those really corny pictures I put in your handout. Most of us have neither worldly power nor worldly authority. And I want to make sure I'm being clear here. Godly power, kingdom of God authority, that is something that not only has God put within us, but that's something that God wants to cultivate in us. What I'm talking about here is worldly power and worldly authority. We don't need it. We don't need it. And I think for many people, I know I fit this description. I've always been a person who has wanted power and authority. Again, it's a funny kind of thing, and maybe more people feel that way than would admit it. But I used to be a county legislator, and after doing that for a season in my life, I realized it really had nothing to do, necessarily, with the call of God in my life. But there was something in me, especially as a younger man, that wanted to be in a position of power, a position of authority. And you know, I'm 64 years old. It still creeps up inside me every now and then, but it's not like a driving thing like it was when I was younger. I think, though, a lot of people at different times in their lives have felt that desire to have more worldly power, more authority, more recognition. But we don't have it. We are, and this is not a mistake, we are, by God's design, and I really want to emphasize that, by God's design, we're just regular people. We're just regular folks. And I think if we can rest in that and know how okay that is, we can be a little bit freer to be a light in our community, the salt of the earth, as Jesus wants, you know, says he wants us to be. So let's make sure we understand what power and authority is. Here's my definition of power, and I think I put this in your notes. It's not mine. It came from Webster's or someplace like that. Power is the ability to physically make someone or something do what you say it should do or what you say they should do. And I think I have a picture on there of a bulldozer, right? Isn't a bulldozer powerful? And there's a big ox in one of the pictures, really super strong. And then there's even a picture of a guy lifting weights. That's the kind of power I always wanted to have. I may never get that. I'm 64 years old, but I'm still waiting for my growth spurt. Yeah. I haven't given up. I'm also waiting for the Steinbrenners to call me about that shortstop position. But power is the ability to make someone do something that, you know, whether they want to do it or not. Power is your ability to make them do it. Authority is the ability to make somebody do what you tell them to do without having to resort to the immediate use of power. And example of authority might be a policeman. You know, and there's another page in there that shows that authority is, well, I forget how I worded it. Authority is better than power. How did I write it on there? Great. Yeah, thanks. Authority is greater than power. You can have a 50-ton vehicle coming down the road at 60 miles an hour, and you can have a tiny little policeman built like me stand there and put his hand up, and that big 50-ton vehicle comes to a stop. Why? There's no power there, but there's authority, worldly authority being exercised right there. And maybe as an aside, maybe that is a little bit of a picture of what God's authority is like as he cultivates it in us. Maybe we're not more powerful than the forces of darkness that we wrestle with, but if we can grow in our sense of the authority God has put inside us, we can begin to understand better why it is that when we speak in the name of Jesus, forces of darkness that would not otherwise yield, now they yield. We're like the policeman stopping the truck going down the road. Most people who want to affect our culture, they try to do it by gaining power or authority. And it can't happen that way. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that verse that we just read, people wielding worldly power and authority doesn't seem to be God's plan for changing the culture. The power and authority of the world, and this is probably one of the most important parts in understanding power and authority in the worldly sense versus influence, which we're going to talk about. The power and authority of the world can never change the world, because worldly power and authority can't change somebody's heart. And really, that's the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God, there's so many Bible verses that talk about guarding your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart of man is really what we're after. And worldly power and worldly authority can't change the heart of man. I like politics and government and stuff like that. I pray for our country. I used to be the chairman of the Allegheny County Christian Coalition. I mentioned that I was a county legislator a long time ago. When there's elections, we're involved in trying to persuade people to vote. I mean, Randy, school board election, Randy goes door to door, knocking on doors to encourage people to vote properly for school boards. We're very aware of how important worldly government is, but worldly government can never change a person's heart. And our reason for existing is to cooperate with Jesus to change people's hearts. So I appreciate worldly power and authority, but that's not where the kingdom of God is going to be gained. Influence can change somebody's heart. Forget power, forget authority. Influence, which seems, in the natural, it seems relatively insignificant compared to power and authority, which are visible and big and strong. Influence almost seems irrelevant, but the influence that you can have on people in your circle can change their hearts. And because of that, influence can advance the kingdom of God. And that's something that every single one of us in this room has. You might not even know who the people are that you are influencing, but you are influencing people all the time, every day. The influence that we each have on those around us can change their hearts and accomplish God's objective. So many of us have felt unable to influence those around us because we sometimes feel less than, and this is a big thing here, we very frequently feel less than the people around us. And the enemy uses that to silence us. And I wrote a few examples. The people around us may be better educated than we are. So when my wife and I first moved from Long Island up to here, we were in Alfred, New York, a college town, populated with professors and all these super smart kids and students, and the people who weren't professors seemed to have used to be in other words, it's a town where there was a super high level of praise for people who are accomplished in academia. And we were just regular folks. And I know that a lot of believers in Alfred, for example, get intimidated by professors. Okay, so that's an extreme example. I think there's many, many times where we might be, maybe intimidated is too strong a word, maybe not, just because we think the people that are in our circle of influence might be smarter than us. But according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, I guess, who cares if they're smarter than us? Right? Who cares? It's not even relevant. But it sure does scream in our heads. But it really has nothing to do with anything. The people around us may be better educated than we are, smarter than we are. They may have more money than we do. If you're just a regular guy like most of us in this room, and some super wealthy business owner comes around, you might feel you can't share, love, influence that person just because they have more money than you. The money has nothing to do with anything. I'm going to share a bit of my testimony in a second, just as an example of this. You may feel that the people around you are prettier or more handsome. Maybe they're a better homemaker, a better athlete. They may be just more prominent in the community. Do you ever tighten up a little bit when elected officials or the mayor or somebody like that comes around? Isn't it funny how we respond to that? Oh, they're the mayor. They're not going to listen to me. You know what I'm saying? It's just a funny phenomenon. God is not hindered by the things that make us feel less than somebody. I'm going to go out on a limb here and maybe push this a little too far. If you're in an environment where you're feeling that because you're less than somebody, there's a hesitancy inside of you, I almost feel that that thing that you feel is the Holy Spirit prompting you. And that you don't even have to say anything profound. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but if we can just be our Christ-centered, God-loving selves in any environment we're in, mission accomplished. You know, I believe it's mission accomplished at that point in time. There's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit draws men and women to the kingdom of God, when the Holy Spirit draws men and women to Jesus in large numbers. And I don't know how to describe a season like that. Some people use the phrase revival. Some people use the phrase outpouring. So, you know, from a theological perspective, I don't know what the right word is. But we know from history that there are seasons where God seems to draw a lot of people to himself. I think as we rest and be who we are in our community, seeds are going to be sown that are going to cause more men and women's hearts to be prepared to come during that time when God's really calling afresh. I don't know what would you call it? I don't know the right word. But we just know from history that there are those seasons. God is not hindered by the things that make us feel less than somebody else. But because of thoughts like these, we sometimes hide our light. In other words, we don't say what we would say if we were around a different group of people. Something comes up, and if we were around our friends and family or in church, we'd respond and we'd say, oh yeah, but blah, blah, blah. But because we're a little bit intimidated by whoever it is that's around us at the time, we hide our light. We put it under a bushel. And you don't have to be a great theologian at those times. You just have to be yourself. You just have to be yourself. We sometimes hide our light under a basket rather than setting it on a candlestick for all to see. Let me tell you a little bit about how I got saved. This is just the very beginnings when God was calling me. When I was in college, I really liked college a lot. I got up at 5 o'clock every morning. I studied hard. I enjoyed my classes. I made sure that for every class, I read the relevant chapters in the books at least twice, usually three times, before the instructor taught on it. And I got A's almost all the time, except for I took a ceramics class. I got an F. I just couldn't do anything with the clay and stuff like that. But other than my ceramics class, I always had really, really good grades. And the people in my circle at that point in time, and this is before I was saved, some of whom had gotten saved, they knew that I was very intellectual. I studied world religions. I always seemed to have a reason why I couldn't be a Christian, why they shouldn't be. All the people were witnessing to me. I was sharing to them why they shouldn't be a Christian. And I think in a sense, as a young man, I was a little bit overbearing and maybe even intimidating to some of the people around me. I'm a nice, warm, fuzzy now, but I wasn't that way when I was younger. Well, here I was studying chemistry and physics and world religions and you name it. I mean, I just soaked up everything I could possibly soak up. And I had a guy who knew the way I was, and he was working with me this one particular summer. And he had become a Christian about 6 months earlier, maybe a year earlier. And constantly while we were working, he would tell me things about Jesus. And he didn't know the Bible that well yet. He was just a young Christian himself. But for reasons that now I'm very grateful for, he didn't get intimidated by all my intellectual crazy stuff. And there's a lot in the New Testament about not being deceived by the precepts of this world and stuff. For some reason, he wasn't bothered by that. And every time he shared something with me about Jesus, I had a very well thought out, very educated, I could have footnoted my my response is, you know, well, this is what Lao Tzu said, and this is what Confucius said, and this is why you're wrong, because look at what the Quran says. But you know what? You know what he would say to me? He would say, well, Curtis, I don't know about that. All I know is that Jesus loves you. That's all he could say to me. And I worked with him for, I don't know, not long, 6 or 8 weeks. And I would get raving mad at him. Because here I am bringing truth. There's substance, there's gravitas behind what I'm saying. And all he can say is, Jesus loves you? Duh! Well, that's what got through to me. Somehow, just because of this guy's willingness, he didn't feel he had to battle me intellectually, or he didn't feel any need to battle me at all. When I had an objection and he didn't have a counter to my objection, and this one got me so mad, he'd say, well, I don't know. I just know Jesus loves you. And it eventually got through. What if that guy was intimidated because I was smarter than him, or tougher than him, or whatever? Maybe he wouldn't have shared those simple things. That's what I needed to hear. I'm sharing this story because that's what the people in your circle of influence need to hear. They just need to know Jesus loves them. Maybe they need to hear it 100 times like I did before it finally penetrates. And it could be that somebody that you answer a simple question from a biblical perspective, they might get annoyed at you. Nothing we can do about that. But what I'm saying is that's okay. You don't have to go out looking for people to share with all the time. As we tune in to how our influence can advance the kingdom of God, the people will come to you. We're going to look at a couple of verses in a second that make that point more clear. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's in the book of Romans, someplace in the, I think, the first chapter of the book of Romans. We don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. We can simply bring what a lot of knowledge or little knowledge, whatever it is we have, we can bring it into our communities, and it will make a difference. Okay. I think, and I started this thought before and I didn't finish it, as we do this, we're sowing seeds. We're sowing seeds. And the more seeds that are sown out there, we don't always have to be the person to reap the harvest. It's very exciting when you do actually get to sit with somebody and lead them to Jesus, and they give their heart to Jesus right then and there because you're sitting there talking with them. But I think, I don't know this for a fact, but I think most of the time, God wants us to be content to plant seeds. And we can plant the seeds, somebody else will water it, God will bring forth the increase. And again, I don't know if I know where that verse is. Someplace in Corinthians is all I remember. But, okay. God never said we had to have power over or authority over or be better than or even be as good as the people around us. He just wants us to be our Christ-centered, God-loving selves. A little thing that's related here is Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. And this has come up here in church someplace, sometime in the last couple of months. I forget who said it or what the context was. But if we can just be our Christ-centered, God-loving selves out in the community, we will be the salt of the earth. But what happens is all these fears and anxieties and things that make us feel unable to be the same person out there that we are in here or at home, it causes the earth to salt us instead of us salting the earth. Because the powers of the world want us to conform to it. So it wants our use of words, our behavior. The forces of darkness want the world to dominate us rather than us dominating it. And we know from the scripture that it says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God doesn't want us to conform to the world. He wants us to be salt and light in the world. All right, Matthew 5:14. That's one of the verses on your paper, right? Okay. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, the light of the world is in us. And if we'll just be us out in our communities, God will use us both in big ways and small ways to let that light shine. The enemy wants us to put our light under a bushel basket and sort of quench it out. When we go out in the world, oh, we'll talk and act like them instead of being like us. No need to do that. The light on the candlestick, and this is important, the light on the candlestick isn't exercising power or authority. It's really important that you see this. The light on the candlestick isn't exercising power or authority. It's just being light. It's just being itself. It's not doing anything special, really. It's just being itself. And when the light is there, it affects the darkness. It diminishes the darkness. Light will always win. It is impossible for light to lose in a battle against darkness. Impossible. So all we have to do is, he said, we're the light of the world. Let's just go out and be ourselves and be the light of the world. And however big or little God wants to do with that, that's in his hands. Just go out and be the light. And I'm saying, be yourself. Your Christ-centered, God-loving self. God knows that our lights will shine and influence the world around us by simply being lights. Once we let God mix us in with the people of our communities, there's a whole new world of opportunity waiting for us. God just wants us to be there so that he can use us to influence them. Okay, so let me stop right here. Influence isn't something that you have to consciously do. You don't have to, how can I influence this group? How can I influence that person? I'm not saying you never think that way, but mostly influence is you just being you. And I know I've said that 10 times already. But that is the point I'm trying to make this morning. Every one of us in this room is a part of God's plan for reaching the communities we're in. And you don't have to always have a big game plan. Just go out and be yourself. All right. Very few people have power or authority. But all of us have a circle of influence. Now, think about this in terms of power and authority. And I hope this example will help us see how easier this is than we think. When was the last time God used power to make you do something? The answer is probably never. I've been a Christian for 44 years. I can't think of a single time where God used his power to force me to do something. And probably nobody in this room has ever been in that spot. When was the last time God exercised his authority to make you do something? Probably never. But hear this. As we read his word, as we spend time with him, as we spend time with other godly men and women, we're influenced by God to be more like him. We're influenced by God to think like him. God influences us. He doesn't force us. God is not in the forcing people to do things business. But he influences us. Think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't push. The Holy Spirit draws us, right? Just the influence of being around the Holy Spirit draws us. And you just relaxing and being you in the community, it will draw people. It will draw people. Sometimes you'll have the opportunity to lead them to the Lord. More often than not, you'll just be doing your part so that as God speaks to their heart in his timing, they'll be ready. And they might not even remember the influence you had, but it's there. All right. Matthew 13:31. Is that one of the verses on your handout? Okay. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. The least of all seeds. We're back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Not many wise, not many noble, not many, you know, money. The mustard seed was the, and I'm not ever going to say that those of us in this room are the least of anything. But the mustard seed was the least of all seeds, the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of it. So the mustard seed didn't have any power or authority to make the birds come. All the mustard seed did was be itself. It grew, and I know for a fact the mustard seed didn't do anything to go out and try to force the birds to come. It just stood there as a mustard whatever, plant, tree, and guess what? The birds came. Why'd they come? They're wired to come and sit on a comfortable branch. There's a verse in the Gospel of John, different translations do it different ways, but in the King James Bible it says, talking about Jesus, he is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. That's how the King James writes it. Every single person in Allegheny County has something inside of them that's yearning to know about Jesus. That's yearning to have that God-filled hole in their middle filled with truth. So it's there, just like the birds are wired to land on the tree. All the mustard seed had to do was just grow and hang out, and God took it from there. Because God had already wired the birds to come and interact with that mustard tree. Okay, the Matthew 13, 33. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Was the leaven a symbol of power and authority? And the answer is no, it wasn't. What did the leaven do to influence the world around it? And the answer really is nothing. It just let God mix it in, then it rested, and it was just leaven. But it changed everything around it. My point is, the leaven didn't have to reach out and try to do some great thing. Just by being leaven, it changed everything around it. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Now, the net is a little bit more like us because it had to be cast into the sea, right? Sometimes we have to be cast into the ocean of humanity. It took a little persuasion. The net took a little persuasion. But once it was in the sea, it didn't do a thing. The net couldn't do a thing. It was just a net. Someone greater than the net did the real work. The net just hung out and let the master use it to catch some fish, and it gathered of every kind. And that's us. We're a part of God's net. Sometime I'll share how the difference between fishing nowadays with a line and a hook versus a net, and how it's the knots. We're all parts of the fishing line. It's the knots that make the net a net. And there's a lot of fun insight there about conflict and conflict resolution and dissonance and resolution. That's sort of fun in seeing how God builds a net. But all the net did was be the net, and it gathered fish of every kind. So God, there is going to come a day where God is going to reveal his kingdom power and kingdom authority to multitudes and multitudes of people. And in preparation for that, we can just go out and be influences in the communities that we live in. All right. I just wanted to show some of you this. This is a version of the Gospel of John. On the inside cover, it explains, or the opening pages, it explains in real simple terms what sin is and why human beings need to address the issue of sin and separation from God. And then it has two simple little pages that explain what a person has to do to have a relationship with God, have their sins forgiven. It's super, super simple. And then it has the entire Gospel of John, but all the verses that have to do with us having a relationship with God are in bold font. So I sat down and I read through just the bold font stuff one day. It took me about 10 minutes. It didn't take an hour. It took about 10 minutes. So I bought these not too long ago, and I've always been uncomfortable with, it's hard to find tracts and literature to give out that I feel entirely comfortable with. But when I found this, I said, oh, that's really good, because it's really just the Bible. And then what I did is, on the inside cover, I made a little sticker, and I took a church from each of the communities that I'm likely to share the gospel in, and just put the name and phone number of a church in each of those communities. And when I give this to people, I usually say something, and nobody's ever, at least, maybe they're grumbling underneath the surface, but everybody that I've given this to has received it very peacefully and, I believe, gratefully. I usually say something along the lines of, you know, hey, I've got this. It could be that you're already familiar with what's in here already, but let me just give this to you. And when you have a chance, read through it. It explains why we need... I don't use the word sin during this conversation. I say it explains why we need a relationship with God. It explains what we have to do to have a relationship with God. And then it just has a book of the Bible written through it. And if you don't have time to read the whole thing, read the verses in bold font, because they all talk about having a relationship with God. And for me, that's been an easy way to, having met somebody, I give this to some of my clients at work. I've given it to people that I cross paths with in the community. Now, that's just me, though. I think it's really worth your effort to find something that you can share peacefully, you know, with the people that you come in contact with. But even if you don't ever do anything like this, just being the light in the community that you live in is enough. God will use that. God will use that. Never be intimidated by anybody else's superiority in any way, shape, or form. Just be yourself. God's going to use that to reach Wellsville. He's going to use that to reach Allegheny County. He's going to use it to encourage you. There's nothing but life and blessing in just being yourself when you're out in the community. Amen. Dave, I'll turn it over to you. Thanks, everybody.
All right, thank you. What's a biblical word for influence?
Anointing. How about evangelism? Essentially, what Curtis is talking about is evangelizing. And the one thing that they took note of, the disciples, the apostles, they it said when the scribes and Pharisees saw that they were unlearned men, they took note that they had been with Jesus. So what's your qualification? You're with Jesus. Jesus took a whole bunch of guys that didn't know what was going on, and he said his call to them was that they would be with him and that he would send them out to preach. Number one, be with him. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. He didn't say, follow me, and then I'm going to push you out, and you're going to fish for men. He says, I'm going to make you to become. And what Curtis is talking about this morning, that influence, it's who you are. Thank you for that, my brother. That was a great word. Father, in Jesus' name, we just put this before you. Father, we desperately want to influence our region for Jesus. Lord, we want to reach people with the gospel. Father, I pray that you would help us to be secure in knowing that we are with Jesus and that you are the one that's making us to become fishers of men. And maybe we don't always do it right. Well, maybe that's because maybe we're not always supposed to do it right. There's not a one-size-fits-all to share with people. Help us, Father, to just love you and to love people and to take every opportunity that you bring to us to share Jesus with people around us. Lord, we thank you for that wonderful call. We pray that you would give us your grace to do it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you're here today and you would like prayer, someone will be here to pray with you. And if not, God bless you. Have a great week. Go out and influence people for Jesus.